Hey guys, my name is Marky.
This is Beck.
And this is our podcast, Going Dutch. Same girls, just a different tune. Let's go. I don't know what
I'm we're just, back.
No, we're back. This is us. It's been a minute. It's Monday, September 14th, 2020. It is 7:49 at night.
Marky.
P.M. Beck.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Marky, it's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
You're beautiful.
I have an afro out to here.
And it's a beautiful afro.
And if you can't see me, and unless your name is Becca, you can't. That's like a foot and a half away from my face.
It is far. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, damn.
It is far.
Expecting you to tell the truth.
But it looks clean.
Well, it's clean.
So.
It is clean. I just didn't do a damn thing with it when I got out of the shower.
Well, would you rather have a clean afro or a dirty one?
The answer would be clean.
It would be clean.
That's what I would like.
I smell like a goat.
Yes, you do.
literally just went home, stuffed my face, put on dry clothes to avoid any female problems. You can't sit around in wet clothes.
No, you get swamp ass.
You get swamp ass.
That's not a term I had ever been familiar with prior to being married to my ex-wife. I never heard about it before Carrie. She is the one who taught me about swamp ass.
I never knew how it first came up. Was she like, ooh, I got swamp ass?
Yeah.
No!
I'm pretty sure it was.
And then she wanted you to kiss her after? Bro.
We used to be those 4:30 a.m. gym goers.
Ew.
Yeah, and we did that regularly during the work week. And then on the weekends, we would still get up, like, relatively early.
Yeah.
And go, but then we would also do like work in the garden or whatever. And since you're already dirty and sweaty, you're just going to keep on working.
Sure.
And I think it was like a scenario like that where she was like, it might have been like, I have to shower before I get swamp ass or something. But it was her. That was the first time. Prior to that, I never knew that was a thing.
I had a guy at the gym last week. He was sitting on a tire. He usually is doing that, just sitting on a tire with his elbows on his knees. And he's just watching me and he goes, you got good work ethic.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I mean, thank you.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you do? And so I told him what I did. And he's like, oh, you sit on your butt all day. And I was like, Scott, you don't know me.
Yeah.
You don't know what I do. And he said, well, either way, I don't care. You got good work ethic. But I think the next time, because he usually has some kind of comment, the next time I'm going to go, yeah, and swamp ass. And see what he says.
You should.
Yeah.
You should.
Well, so there's that.
I went back to CrossFit for the first time today in forever.
I bet you killed it.
For the first time in forever.
Ooh, wow, wow.
Oh, I have a toddler.
I don't know the words. What song is that?
For the first time in forever.
Well. Oh, okay. Did you love Hate It?
The movie?
No. CrossFit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I have a toddler.
I have a toddler.
I hated it. It was horrible. It was miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was brutal. It was, the time cap for it was 18 minutes, and I don't think anyone finished prior to minute 25.
Really? That must have been tough.
I mean, anyone. Oh. And I believe everyone scaled in some kind of way.
Really?
Yeah, it was ridiculous, dude.
I can't.
It was ridiculous. It was good. And today was a good day for it because it wasn't as miserably hot as Texas tends to be.
Yes. Today, it was still muggy and warm, but there's that sense of change in the air. It's not as strong as it will get, but I think the hint of that anxious feeling, the, you know, the good anxious fall feeling is, yes, was present today. Yeah.
So absolutely, it made it more manageable. But it was pretty bad. It was 5 rounds of a stupid combination of things. 25 double unders, just to bore everybody. 25 double unders, 12 deadlifts, 5 toes to bar. 25 double under, double unders, I don't know why I can't say that right now. 9 hang power cleans, 5 toes to bar. 25 double unders, 6 push jerks, 5 toes to bar. That's the round. Repeated 5 times.
No, dog. I'm good. I'm good.
Dude.
I'm so good.
I was the last one to finish today.
Ugh, it sounds terrible.
And everybody else was already dead. Yeah. So there wasn't like a lot of cheering going on. Oh. Every now and then I heard Lindsay go, "You got it, girl. You're almost there. You're almost there."
You're like, "Hello, assholes. I'm still working out."
I mean, it was bad. It was rough. It was real rough.
I thought about you today because Curtis introduced box jumps.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to, in our round today and our circuit today and in one of our circuits last week, you do a push-up, touch the box with a hand, push-up, touch the box with the other hand, push-up, burpee up, jump on the box.
Oh.
I'm offended. I'm flattered and offended. Cool that you think I'm capable of doing that. Offended that you would even ask me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone's ever done a box jump before, but, and he doesn't have the soft one like I'm used to.
Right.
It's all, they're all the wooden ones, yeah, and they start at 24 inches. So
they start at 24?
Start at 24. There is no 12-inch box in that building. What about
the
20?
The 24, you can't turn it to its side and it'd be 20.
Oh, maybe it is a 20.
Okay.
Maybe it's a 20.
Okay.
Because it was manageable. But there's no 12-inch. But no 12-inch. And all wooden. And all I could think about were my shins. He's like, "What are you? Your legs are shaking. What are you so scared for?" And I'm like, "Have you seen what happens to people when they fall? They lose their shit."
Yeah.
They lose their shit. Last week, oh my gosh, we were hitting a tire with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I came right into my shin with it.
Did you?
Oh, God. It took my breath away. It took everything in me not to cry. Not. I was embarrassed and in so much pain. And I kept thinking, it's broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. Fuck. But not broken. Here I am today.
Here you are.
You know? Here we are.
Here you are.
I have been listening to, and I highly recommend it. Have you ever heard of David Goggins?
No.
Oh. David Goggins is, they call him like the most badass man in America. Like he's like a monster.
Okay.
He's more like a machine. Mm. He is a Navy SEAL or a retired Navy SEAL. Grew up abused, dyslexic, he has a stutter problem, has faced so many trials and tribulations. I think he's the one that Jason was telling us about one time that did like the 4,000 or so many pull-ups in so many hours and he like glued his hands back together.
Oh.
I think he was telling us at the box one time. But this guy is like a machine. I mean, he's got, I think, I don't know if he has his own podcast. He might, but he's on a lot of podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And he just put out a book that is called Can't Hurt Me. And he is unstoppable. Like, I have been watching and listening to every David Goggins thing I can.
Yeah.
Just because I've found myself in a place where I'm having to just really dig deep on even the most simple things. They just are overwhelming me. And he really puts it into perspective. Like, he cusses a lot, which you know I relate to.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, "So-and-so broke up with you. Get the fuck over it."
Yeah.
I'm like, while they're going and making babies that you don't know about, you can focus on yourself and work out and go to school and get a degree and get a hot body and move on with your life. Like,
okay.
I mean, he just really puts things into perspective.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you, like, get the fuck over it. Like, your body's trying to tell you. Sometimes he's to the extreme. Like, your body's trying to tell you you're sick. You're not fucking sick. Like, he fully believes that your mind is a whole different machine that either you control or it controls you, and you have to be careful because sometimes it can trick you.
I kind of believe in that too.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
As far as like the extreme, he's more of a machine. Like I worry sometimes I'll be listening to him and I worry that he is missing something that might be like a make or break for somebody. You know, like if you've got someone suicidal, he's more of the type that's like, get over it. You've got a life to live for. And he expects you to just.
Yeah.
Whereas that person might really need you to see them and and they're not going to be reached by his like machine outlook. But overall, I mean, he's killing the game.
Yeah.
Killing the game.
I'm intrigued.
He had me, you know, since dad died, I think I've expressed this on an episode where I was talking about like going to the gym. I just feel guilty. I feel guilty doing anything that makes me feel like I'm moving on and that life continues. And I forget what it was on, but I was listening to a podcast that he was a guest on, and he was talking about working out. And he was talking about identifying what your reason for working out is. Like, you need to figure that out. Do you want, like, there's nothing wrong with it. Do you want a hot body? Yeah, okay, cool. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So yeah. Get a hot body. Do you want to just a healthy heart? Get a healthy heart. Do you want to just feel good, be fit? Do you want to just sweat? Do you like to sweat? Let that be your reason. But prove to yourself that for at least an hour a day, you can stand to be uncomfortable and live through it.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the physical benefits that you reap from it, those are just added bonuses.
Right.
But that the fact that you can determine to be uncomfortable for an hour a day, if that, is and make it through that is a goal reached in itself every single day.
Mm.
So I was like, you know.
Brilliant.
Yeah. It was just David Goggins, G-O-G-G-I-N-S. Everyone should look him up.
Yeah, I will.
He's dope.
I'm interested. I struggled. I did not want to go today.
I bet.
And I was saying it over and over and over again. Like, I don't want to go. I do not want to go to CrossFit. I don't want to go. And I hadn't been in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so that didn't help my case either.
No, it's hard to get back into something.
It is hard to get back into something.
That's
and
me.
I just, and I had so many things staring at me in mm-hmm. the face, like so many things that needed to be done, that to sacrifice CrossFit for, you know, would be a rational decision. And I was just like, you have to make time for it.
Yeah.
And I used to be that person who made time for it no matter mm-hmm. what. Like, I figured it out. And so now I'm trying to really get back to that place where CrossFit is a priority for me again.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not easy.
No, but your body's your best investment. Your body's your best investment. Like, yeah, you need is. Your body.
It's the only thing
is
you
what
have
draws
your life.
Designs,
yeah.
mm-hmm. and it needs to be healthy and it needs to be functioning well.
Mm-hmm.
And but I mean, I know what you mean, because like when I go to turn left at that light at every evening at 5:15, I get anxiety. I'm like, please don't turn green. Please don't turn green. Like, I just want to sit at that intersection because I know as soon as I put my keys up, I'm going to be running.
Yeah.
I hate running
uh-huh.
and my knees hurt and I just don't like it. I'm not one of those people that's like, I love to work out. Oh, my God. Like. You can always sit with us, but if you love to work out, do not sit next to me. I do not want to hear about how you love to work out. I want to talk about how you hate it.
Yeah.
And you're tired and you're sore, but you do it
miserable.
Anyway and you don't know why.
Yes.
Like, you'd rather be eating a bag of Cheetos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's what I want to talk about. So, yeah, you can sit at our table, but like, yeah, that seat down there at the very end.
That one's open. I was miserable. I got done. Happy that I finished and I didn't die, but like cleaned up all my equipment, you know, because we're all still really diligent about like cleaning up the COVID. So I cleaned up all my stuff. I went to throw my napkin out and it was a simple bye, like leaving.
I'm out.
Like, I wasn't gonna stop and be like,
fuck that.
It was just a bye, like from across the box. And Mando and Coach both, bye, Marky. See you tomorrow. And I was like,
fuck off.
I mean, it's likely, but I don't know. Whatever. I was like on my way to my car. And then, so the box is like two blocks away from the studio. And so I'm just going through downtown. I turn right at the light. I pulled up to the studio and I got out of my car. And I think this might not have happened today. Typically, Ben sees me looking miserable as fuck.
Yeah.
And goes, how was it? And my response, typically, if I've just left CrossFit, is brutal or miserable or some kind of bullshit like that. And his reply to that is always good,
yes.
with this smile on his face.
Don't you hate that?
And then on day two is your worst sore day, right?
Yeah.
So then, like, you're getting out of your chair. And it's always him from across the room going, good job. Look at you. You did it. You did a real good job getting up. Yeah, he's that asshole.
What do you say? Kiss my ass. I literally will get up from my office chair or the toilet. Toilet's the worst. That's your enemy after leg day.
It is.
And I literally will say out loud, I can't live my life like this. I constantly feel run over in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I never feel
just good.
Like, yeah. I can't live like this. But then you, like, kind of adjust to it, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
anyway, it's good to be back.
It is good to be back with all the things. Yes.
We love you guys. We've gotten some really nice messages.
We have.
Zach, Taylor, here we are.
Yep, Lacey.
We appreciate you guys.
Yes.
We got your encouraging messages. Mm-hmm. Zach was saying that we are a comedic relief, but more so it's about being able to sit with us.
And yeah.
We've been here.
Yeah.
We've been here. We've just been dealing with some things. And Marky, you've had some serious stuff going on.
Yeah, so my grandmother has been ill for a while.
Yes,
for like a solid year and a half. She's just been very ill, and they've been doing what they can to try to like help and like extend her life. And but at the end of last week, we found out from her doctors that there was just really nothing else that could be done.
Yeah,
she was in kidney failure.
Oh, bless her heart.
But also, so her blood pressure was plummeting, so she was on an IV to help with that, but then doing dialysis for the kidneys, and something about the dialysis was helping to pull the fluid away from her lungs.
Okay.
So it was building up and it was suffocating her.
That makes sense.
But something about the IV and the high blood pressure was counteracting that in some kind of way. You don't get me to lie. So anyway, all of the things in motion that were helping her live were just fighting against each other. So it was just this is just not ideal. There's really nothing that can be done. So my papa had to make the decision to end all of that support. And they did it in a way where they took one away and let that happen, and then took the next away and let that let her body adjust.
Sure. Instead of just jerking her off everything.
Yeah. And supplementing, I don't know if that's the right word, but put her on some pretty significant pain meds to help manage and keep her comfortable. And they brought her home with hospice care. So I found out they expected her to have about 24 to 48 hours to live, and that if you wanted to say bye, you needed to come now. So I packed bags. We drove out to San Antonio. I got to the hospital and I caught her on her last day to like really have a conversation. It was the last day.
So she was coherent and could.
Yes.
For the most part.
For the most part. Yes. She was very slow to react.
Okay.
But she could see you, and she knew who you were, and she had a response to a question.
She just didn't feel well
at
all.
She just did not feel well.
Yeah, gotcha.
She did not feel well. She did have some quips that were enjoyable. She still was very much my granny, which was nice. We were standing around the bed, and I got there, and my papa was there, her husband, my mother, her stepdaughter, her biological daughter, my Aunt Danielle, and then brothers and sisters. And so we're kind of sitting there, and the nurses came out and they said, okay, so, you know, this is just a regulation now. We can let the whole group go back there for 15 minutes and that's it. And then after that, just one designated visitor for the rest of the evening. The designated visitor, which was my papa.
Oh, gosh.
But the group for 15, and then after that, you all have to leave. Only papa can stay. So, and the baby couldn't go back, so Frankie didn't get to go back there. So, anyway, we go back there. We all have our masks up. We're standing around her, and we're talking to her, and she's, you know, responding to everyone slowly. And we get through a few short conversations, and she fighting with her about her little oxygen piece. And there was a moment where everyone just kind of like got quiet, and we were just kind of like appreciating her, like all weirdly and awkwardly. And so it's quiet, and she kind of just glances around and then goes, "How long is this meeting supposed to last?" And everyone just kind of, I mean, we're all just kind of like, okay, well.
Okay. So she's like, get out of my face.
Man, what's.
You guys. What's the roar? Oh, I love it.
Isn't it like break time or something?
I love it. Don't y'all need to like be somewhere?
You don't have a spreadsheet to work on? What are y'all doing here?
Shouldn't you guys like go eat or something?
You know, that was neat.
I love it.
So anyway, yeah. So. We left. It was kind of heartbreaking because my pawpaw did not have the mental or emotional strength to stay there with her by himself. He's had such a hard time processing this whole thing. And so it was, we even asked the nurses, would it not be possible for someone else to take the spot? Yes, he's the designated visitor, but we've all been back here already. We've all been exposed. Y'all have all been exposed. You know, so would it not just be possible for me to hand my designated visitor's card to her sister?
Yeah.
So her sister can stay here with her for the rest of the evening, and she's not alone. The answer was no.
What in the world?
Yeah, COVID fucking sucks.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't.
That's silly. There's no common sense. There's no executive decisions. There's no COVID my ass.
I was so irritated. Sorry. And I didn't. And so I understand it sucks for everyone, healthcare workers included.
Sure.
And I know that you're doing a job and you have rules for a reason, and I get that and I understand. It's just also like we're talking about the end of someone's life.
Right. Assess the situation.
I just can't understand how I'm not in your shoes. I haven't been through the education. I haven't been through the day-to-day dealings of that profession. I cannot imagine because I don't have the heart to tell people no, I'm sorry. I'd be like, okay, just don't tell anybody.
I mean, yeah,
is who I would be. Me so too. It's probably better. It's, you know, I'm sure that a lot would argue that it's probably better that I'm not in that position. I'd be breaking rules left and right.
Well, me too, but it's not like
weird,
you guys.
No, I don't see Jane. It doesn't look like James is on that card. It looks like Jane.
It's not like you guys were sitting there trying to debate dosages or next moves. You just are switching one person for another.
One visitor
who has already been back there.
Already been back here.
The problem in this situation is that everything is so run. There's a book, an invisible book. No one actually looks at the situation at hand. They just go, in these situations, or we're supposed to do this. Not even in these situations. Nobody's looking at the specific thing we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
No one's assessing. Everyone's just acting like, oh, COVID equals robot. It's bullshit.
It's
so
tough.
I'm sorry. Proceed.
So the goal is to bring her home with hospice, and we were approved for that. It happened actually fairly quickly. She came home the very next evening. It was late at night that we got to bring her home. By that time, she wasn't really having conversations anymore. Her eyes were open, and they wheeled her in, and all of her family is standing around, and so she's getting wheeled in, and she sees us from her bed, and she puts her hand up, and you know, it's an acknowledgement, but that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
We did. So they got her settled in her bed, and her daughter, my Aunt Danielle, was sitting next to her, and I was on the other side of her, and I had a little story to tell her, hoping to give her a reason to have a little bit of joy. My granny would win any game that she played. It would, any card game, any board game, a video game. She slayed on Nintendo 64.
Did she really?
Yes, really.
Yes.
So we found out that my papa got a call right before she got there from her hospice nurse, whose name is Velda. But I thought he said Zelda. And so I clarified with that, you know, I was like, what is her name? And he said Velda. Actually, at first he didn't hear it. He just called her nurse. And he was like, save this number in my phone. Just put it as nurse. I don't know what her name was. And I was like, cool, Papa. Okay. Anyway, her name was Velda. So I'm telling Granny, I was like, you know, your hospice nurse, she's pretty cool. She had jokes and she's funny. She did have jokes. She came in, we asked her if she wanted water, and she's like, no, I just had a beer. And I was like, yes, that's the nurse we need here. Yeah. So your nurse is pretty cool, Granny. Her name is Velda. But when Pawpaw was talking to her, I thought he said Zelda. And that made me think of all the times you kicked our ass in Nintendo 64. And she, when I started talking, she was like looking at me and she's listening and concentrating on every word. And then I got to kicked our ass. And that just kind of made her like, you could, it's not that she laughed,
but
her body couldn't do that anymore. Yeah. But you could almost visibly see a light flow through her skin.
Yeah.
Like, and then it kind of, like, she wanted to laugh, so it kind of, like, she got a chuckle, which just made her cough. But it was just a cool thing.
Oh, I love that.
It was a cool thing.
I love that.
And my granny isn't a, you know, she's a God-fearing woman, and she's not much of a cusser or anything, but you'd catch her every now and then talking about how my papa was an asshole, or, you know, stop being such an ass, or, you know, she'd say little things like that.
Yeah.
So it was just funny. It made my Aunt Deeg laugh. She made her light up, and it was nice.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So she is God-fearing.
Yes.
I was going to ask that.
Yes. Just,
I mean, we ask those questions. just curious. I was sitting there going, I'm going to ask if she was a Christian.
And is then she
I
going
was
to
like,
heaven?
No, don't ask that question. And then I'm like, for the listeners, I owe it to the listeners. Oh, there's going to be some listeners that are curious like me, and it's up to me to ask the weird questions.
Yeah, it is.
And then I was don't. And then you said God fearing, and I'm like, oh score!
Yay! Touchdown!
That's even cooler.
A God fearing woman.
You know, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, that was good. The yes, she passed away. I came back Wednesday evening. And then she passed away Friday morning. This past Friday morning.
In the morning, was your pawpaw awake, like, or did he have to wake up to her gone?
I have not asked those questions.
Okay.
I did such a good job. I mean, I lost it several times.
Sure.
Standing next to her in the hospital bed, I kind of lost it, and I stepped away and went to the window, and somebody else took my spot. You know, we just kind of kept a rotation like that. And then she got home. And I teared up several times in the interim.
Sure.
On our own, like if we were exchanging stories or whatever. We got her home and settled, and there was a good time where my Aunt Dee and I were sitting next to her, and I got overwhelmed. We had a very interesting experience, my Aunt Dee and I, sitting there with her when she was struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Her breathing was already labored, right? She's suffocating. Her body is struggling. Now she's okay. She's on pain meds, but so every breath has her moving, the in, the out, right? Mm, and so she's struggling, and her brow is constantly furrowed.
Mm-hmm.
And she's laying here like this, and it was just me and Aunt Dee, and we weren't really talking. We were just there. We were just there with her, sitting there. And I had a moment, and my Aunt Dee was experiencing the same thing, and I didn't realize it, but I had this moment where I was pulling anything I had in me and trying to give it to her.
Yeah.
I need you to have some comfort. Relax. We're here. It's okay. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And apparently, my Aunt Dee was having that same kind of like pull, right? Intention. So I'm staring at her face, and then I start to realize that her brow is getting relaxed, and then her face is okay. And like, and so it's no longer like this furrow.
Yeah.
It's just and now she's just breathing.
Yeah.
And her brow is right. So I noticed that. And then I noticed that I can feel my Aunt Dee looking at me, and she's trying to get my attention. And so I look over at her, and she starts to point to her brow. Telling me her brow, and I was like,
yeah.
And so we were being quiet because we were hoping she was resting, and like we didn't want to distract her. But and so she's, you know, telling me like her brow, she's relaxed, she's feeling better. And I was like, yeah, I noticed that too. And then, so, you know, at a different time, it might have been the next morning or something, or later that, I don't know. We were sitting at the kitchen table, my Aunt Dee and I, and she brings it up, and she was like, you felt that, right? The energy changed. We did something good in there. And I was like,
oh, gosh, that gives me chills.
And she said, and it's funny, because I've been battling this concept for a long time, but she says to me, you have something so special mm-hmm. in you. There's something so good in there, and it affects other people. And I was just floored, because I think we talked about this on the podcast, the experience at the beach.
I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or before we started.
The girl joined our group.
Uh-huh.
I think we might have talked about it on the podcast. I don't either. But anyway, it was neat. Yeah. It was a very neat moment, and it just kind of, it left me going like, and I don't know if it's just because I don't want to believe it, or I've never viewed myself as
special
or mm-hmm. more or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough for me to swallow. And then like, but also like, I don't want to accept that, because that just means that I have the capability of letting someone down.
Uh-uh.
You know, it's just so weird.
Can you imagine being, no, absolutely, letting someone down?
Well, yeah, if I'm known or expected to do good, I feel like all I can now be is a failure.
Absolutely. So, not because
such a backward
you're
thinking.
No, guys, listen to this bullshit. Y'all don't listen to Marky's ass. you have that light without even trying. It's just who you are. You have something special in you. You give off something to people. Imagine like what you gave to your granny without even you. That's out of your power. You're a human being. You're a dirty, nasty, gross, afroed human being.
Yeah. Oh.
You can't possibly consciously draw up that power. Like, you were able to give someone comfort before they left this earth.
Yeah.
You were able to give someone comfort and peace before they went to a place no one knows what it's like until you go. Death is the scariest thing, no matter what. Yeah. Anyone argues, death is the one thing we all have in common we haven't done yet.
Yeah.
It's the unknown. No one knows how it goes. No one knows if it hurts. No one knows if it's scary. No one knows. No one knows. And you were able to give someone peace before that, and you have a special gift in you that makes people feel like home. There's something about you. There's a light in you where anybody can be around you and truly just be themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can't come up with that. You can't do that. It's a gift you've given. So you can't fail at it. You don't have control over it.
Yeah.
So fine. If you want to not take credit for it, cool. You shouldn't. You didn't do it on your own, but you've got it.
Yeah.
I think that's so super special.
It was really cool. I mean, and to hear it from my Aunt Dee too, who
got to witness it and be a part of it.
Yeah. And she's so real in such a very unaware kind of way.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's so, it was very much a compliment.
Yeah.
And there was no part of me that thought, you're just trying to build me up, or,
yeah, you're just,
you know what I mean? Like,
fluffing my buttons.
Yeah. Well, so, what the hell that means? Yeah. Okay. Fluffing my buttons. Someone keep a record of the things. But yeah, it was cool. So, the other thing, I like telling this story about my grandparents because it encompasses so much of who they were. They would be celebrating 34 years of marriage next month. I think he said October. The story I'm about to tell you happened 10 years ago then. They have always been very bickery. Just like a yickety, yickety, yickety kind of people, right? And so my grandmother, she functioned on her own clock. Her watch was correct and yours was just wrong.
Oh.
And if it was, we would never be anywhere on time. We would never leave the house when we meant to. There was always something else she wanted to do just real quick. I need to do this. But it was her world and we were all just living in it. Kind of thing. And my pawpaw is not a patient man. He's not. Wanda. And I'll never, ever forget the way he says her name. Well, Wanda. And it was always Wanda. It's just, there was always so much like, oh my, Wanda.
Going to pop.
Yes. So anyway, they were in this bickering session and it was always something that entertained the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
So none of us were like worried or scared or like, you know, it was very, you know, we're all on the sidelines, just kind of grinning
on the sidelines, watching being this like, train wreck.
Yeah. So they were in this bickering session and he was frustrated and she was frustrated, but her expression isn't nearly the same. And everyone just kind of got quiet. And so I said, how long have y'all been married? And my granny is going to answer truthfully and say 24 years. And right after you hear my pawpaw go 94 years, like with just so much irritation, 94
for
years,
fucking ever.
Forever we've been married. We've always been married. So anyway, the day, Wednesday morning, the day that I was leaving, my pawpaw asked me, my pawpaw and my granny Wanda have always despised tattoos. They're not fans.
Right.
They are not fans. And every time I've come around, it's judgment. Mm. Why? There? Really? Again?
Your arms?
It's
your
always
legs?
Been that. So, Wednesday morning, my papa asked me, he says, honey, I want you to do something for me. And I was like, okay, yeah, well, absolutely. Anything you want, anything at all. And he said, I want you to tattoo me. And I was like, what? And I thought he was joking. I had just told the Zelda story.
Yeah.
And so it was a light mood. And then he says, I want you to tattoo me. And I was like, what? And he said, I want a heart. I want a heart with Wanda in it right here on my arm.
Oh, gosh.
When all this is over, I want you to tattoo me. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And he mentioned it again. And then right before I left, right when I was leaving, packed the car, got Frankie in, was, you know, said my final bye. And he said, think about that. Draw me up something.
What?
Okay. So when I got back home and I spent the first several hours I had back at the studio working on a design, and I gave him three options. One had her favorite flower, but I molded it into a heart,
mm-hmm.
and Wanda across it. And then I had another one that was just simple, minimalistic, in case he didn't want the frilly extra detailing and stuff. Just the heart with a banner that said Wanda, real American traditional. And then I designed another one that said James and Wanda. He sent me a picture, or he gave me a copy of something that they had each both signed. So I had her exact signature. And so I'm using it for all these designs, right? But then in the option number three, I put James and Wanda in their own handwritings. And then underneath that, in quote, 94 years.
Oh, my God.
He loved the flower one the best.
Okay.
But then also told me if we could also put I love you and the 94 years in it. He wanted all the things.
Oh, my God.
So I'm designing him all the things. But I've always loved telling that story, the 94 years story.
Yeah.
And it's my favorite memory I have of them together. And I've always loved them together.
Yes.
Everything about who they were for each other.
Yeah.
And it just, so I'm designing this going, I want a 94 years kind of marriage.
Yes.
That is, I want that.
Absolutely.
94 years. So anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you shared that.
Isn't that great?
Ugh.
A 94 years kind of love.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
A 94 years kind of marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry your granny died.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it me sucks. Too. It, but she had been suffering for a while.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it any easier. No. It sucks just as bad. No. I called my papa on Sunday. The visitation was this morning. They're having the funeral service Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Then they're traveling for the burial because their family plot is a good, like, 2 hours north.
Wow.
Of where they live. So they're traveling for the burial that's happening on Thursday. But the only way I would have been able to pull off another visit would have been leaving yesterday and then going to the visitation this morning and turn around and coming right back today. So I called him yesterday. And I don't have, it's not that I'm insensitive to funerals. I understand that some people need them. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And if I've already had an opportunity, which I did, mm-hmm. luckily, to connect with that person again and tell them how much I love them and say my goodbye. And, mm-hmm. you know, I consider myself very lucky, but I don't, the last sight of my granny, I don't want that to be of her in a box.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I don't want that.
I don't blame you.
And it's selfish for sure. And so I called my papa Sunday morning when I first woke up and I said, if you want me to be there, I will be there. I will be on the road within the hour. I will be there. If you don't need me there, I would rather not. He was like, I said, I don't want to see her like that. And he was like, oh, neither do I.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, yeah. When he first answered, he said, hey, honey. And I said, hey. And he said, I'm okay. Aww. And I was like, yeah. Well, this sucks. And he laughed and he's like, yeah, it does suck. And then I told him, like, if, you know, I'll gladly get on the road. However, for me personally, I'd rather not. And, you know, and he said, okay. But then I got super emotional, and then he got super emotional, and I was squalling on the phone.
Oh, bless y'all's heart.
And he started to switch, and he couldn't handle that, so he handed the phone off to my mother, and so it was a thing. But anyway, that was it. That's all. I think that's all.
I'm details. So sorry.
Yeah, it's tough. It's,
I want a 94-year marriage.
But a 94-year marriage. Yeah. And Yeah. And I got to say, you know, my papa was married to my other granny. He was married to my granny. They had my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got divorced when my mom was like a teen or something. And papa found Granny Wanda. Mm-hmm. I've always known papa and Granny Wanda.
Right.
And then I knew my granny and my nanny.
Right.
Because my granny remarried. And my Granny Wanda was the first person to ever hold me. When I was born. Yeah. She loved bragging about that.
I bet.
But yeah. And I've always admired who they were. Even like through how they bickered and stuff. It was never without love.
Yeah. Like that's how they loved each other. Yes. Sassing each other all the time.
It never felt dishonest. And I just always like someone to do that with.
Yes.
To give absolute hell and then still feel like you're in heaven at the end of the night.
Yeah. I wonder if either of them were ever in a bad mood, if they were like actually sweet to each other, if the other was like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why are you talking to me like, don't talk to me like that. Why are you being so nice? I hate it. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like that kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's really special.
It was pretty great.
That's really special.
Yeah. So he's already booked an appointment.
And is getting a tattoo.
He's getting a tattoo. Yeah.
I think that is amazing.
Yeah.
I think that is so cool. Yeah. That's going to be a really neat experience for you.
It is. You know? I think so too. Yeah.
Pretty emotional. Yeah. I would imagine in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well.
What's that?
That's amazing.
The only thing here now, the problem I face is how the hell do you find someone to get into a 94-year marriage with?
Oh, you mean like now in life in 2020, like, being 32?
Yeah.
And 33?
Being that.
And in the dating world, like right now?
Yes.
In this present time?
What are you supposed to do about that?
Oh.
started like silly forced laughter, and that turned legit.
It's humorous to think. Oh,
gosh.
Oh, that's well, good. There's the grocery store.
Oh, no.
And where you could bump buggies with someone.
Bump buggies. Shopping cart.
That.
It's called a shopping cart.
Where you could bump carts. There's not. I don't. Listen. I think back to all of our past episodes, and I literally have the worst attitude towards dating. I do and I don't. I mean, I definitely voice my shitty opinion because the dating world is shitty. But yeah. I don't think that all the good people, guys or girls, have just dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
I truly don't. But prove me wrong. If you were to like watch TikTok, I mean, there are some dancing videos, there are some funny videos, but they're few and far between. The majority of the videos that come up on my feed are about cheating. Like this girl I saw yesterday put out a video, and she's riding in the car and she's just looking in the camera, and she's it's silent for a minute, and she goes, "So, is there anyone not cheating or getting cheated on?" Oh, like, that's a legit, she's like, for real, like, just a legit question. What world do we live in now? Like, if you can tell me that you've never been cheated on, or you've never cheated, or both, please let me know. Because we're all doing it. And if we're not full-fledged cheating, she's like, if you're dating someone, switch phones for 30 minutes. Let each other go through each other's phones. She goes, we're engaged. We're getting married. Switch phones for 30 minutes. Bet you won't be getting married after that.
Yeah.
Because you're sitting here going, taking cute pictures with your lover, and you're, I love him so much. She's my best friend. You switch phones and you're going to see what's in their DMs on social media.
Oh, no.
And you're basically cheating. It's terrible. A 94-year marriage. I'm not going to say it's not possible because, like I said, there are good people. I'm a good people. Mm-hmm. I'm a good people. Mm-hmm. I would do someone really good. And by that, be good to them.
Yeah.
It's like Anita says, she'll tell people about me. You can take her to the bank. You can take me to the bank.
Mm.
So I could take you to the bank.
Yeah.
So there are people out there that can be taken to the bank. It's just they're few and far between, and it's just too easy to go behind people's back.
Yeah.
It's just too easy to be two different people, 3, 4, 5, 6 different people if you have that much time.
Yes.
So a 94-year marriage is tough. I mean, you could try the dating sites. I refuse.
I refuse.
I am not going to fill out my information and click submit. And get a 7-day free trial to only be disappointed.
You just sign up for disappointment.
Like, yeah, give me a code for 10% off for disappointment. I'm good. I'm good.
I had a client last week or maybe the week before. What is time? So she was getting tattooed. I was working on her for a couple hours, and we're not allowing guests at all. But, you know, she was like, I know that you're not allowing guests, but can someone just stop by just for a minute? And I was like, yeah, that's totally cool. You make sure that they're wearing a mask. And she was like, dope. So then I see this guy start to walk up, and for some reason, I wasn't expecting that. I thought she just meant like a friend, like a girlfriend or whatever. And I was like, are you expecting a guy? And, she said, yeah. And I was like, okay. So he comes in, he comes straight over, hey, how's it going, you know, and they talk, and he's very, like, eloquent and friendly and interested, and they have a cool conversation, plans later, whatever, does it hurt, you know, not so bad, blah, blah, blah. He goes to leave, and I was like, is that your dude? Like, that's your guy. And she's like, yeah. I was like, he's adorable. And she's like, thanks. And, you know, when you're stabbing someone for a couple hours, like, you have to find things to talk about. And so I, you know, you need to be nosy. You have to be nosy. It's kind of like your hairdresser. And
I was
like,
well,
how'd y'all meet? And she's like, well, well, we met on Bumble.
And I was like, yeah.
And it's as shitty as this is, I was kind of confused because she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And like, and yes, I know. But it's still like, I was like, yeah. And she's
you
like,
on Bumble?
Yeah. And she's like, it's cool because the guy cannot contact you. He can swipe. What is it? Right? Right is yes.
I think right.
Right is right. Right is yes.
So you hear swipe so right.
You can swipe right and say like, hey, which says I'm interested in you. I'd like to match up with you or whatever. If you swipe right, then you're matched and a conversation window is available for you.
So if the guy swipes right, you have no idea.
No, you do. You get notified like someone's interested in you.
Okay. Okay.
And you can either say no or you can say yes.
Okay.
And then a conversation window opens. But he cannot type anything. It is only the first move of the lady.
Sweet.
The woman then has a choice. You can say hello. You can write something. Or you can let that conversation die. It expires in 24 hours.
Snap.
Yeah. She was like, so it's great because I didn't go on that app with any kind of anxiety thinking that I was going to be harassed or reached out to by people I wasn't about.
Yeah.
It was always in my court.
Yeah.
And so, and then in addition to that, she said, and also I kept the app and I was like, okay. And she's like, but not for dating. She said there's a whole nother section to Bumble where you can find friends.
What?
You answer a survey about like your interests and your schedule and like what you like and what you don't like and all the kinds of things. And they match you with friends in your area. People that you might get along with.
Well, that's cool.
She's like, it's cool because I'm not from here. And I'm, you know, like I'm not just trying to live my life like on my own. Like I want friends.
Yeah.
And I don't work in a profession that allows me to be around a bunch of ladies like my age with my interests. So like now I'm just using it to expand my friend circle. And I was like, that's incredible.
I have never heard of that. That's amazing.
It is really
neat. Amazing. And the fact that they met on Bumble.
Yes.
The first time I heard about Bumble, Kelly Raspberry from Kid Craddock.
Yeah.
She met her husband. Her now husband.
Uh-huh.
They're happily married. She met him on Bumble.
Yeah.
And it worked out great. And, like, for the whole time they dated, they did, you know, she would, like, update them on the show and us, the listeners, on her Bumble experience. And she, like, swears by it.
Interesting.
I just can't.
You know, I have a client who says that you remind her of Kelly Raspberry.
Hang on. Just a second. I remind her of Kelly fucking Raspberry. Who is can we call her him? How her? Do I remind her of Kelly Raspberry? No offense to Kelly. She's a cool little Carolina girl. She's not funny. She's not. How? Oh, no. Is it the way I talk?
I don't know.
We have to know. Remind her.
I think she's coming. I think I'm tattooing this client next week.
I can't. I'm sure. That she meant that. Kelly's a nice person. She's my least favorite on the show.
Yeah.
She's very. I'm about to describe myself. She's very center of attention.
No.
She's dramatic. Huh. But not in a cool way. She's to me like she's very like. She's kind of corny.
Maybe my client meant somebody else. Huh. That
doesn't sound like me at all, does it? One thing, she's uppity, and I am not uppity. Okay, Margie. I am not uppity.
I'm
sassy.
I would never. uppity. If someone asked you, me to describe you, uppity would not be a word that I would like
snobby uppity. Like, she's like a Southern sweet snobby.
Is she?
That's how I view Kelly Raspberry. Oh. And who like thinks she's funny, but she's not. And she's like a sweet snobby. She covers her snob up with her like Southern Baptist fake funny to me. I'm not a fan.
Clearly.
Like, I'm not an enemy, but I'm not like, she's like my, I don't hate her, but she's my least favorite on the show. Mm. And I just, because let's go back to this uppity thing.
Okay.
Like, I like nice things, but I don't have to have like name brand, like cutesy stuff.
Unless your best friend gets a name brand cutesy thing.
And then yeah. And you can't order name brand bags without telling me we're ordering name brand bags. Because then you and I go somewhere and you're carrying a name brand bag and I've got a Target crossbody on my fucking shoulder and hip.
It sounds
looking lovely. Like...
Sounds like you're looking
like I'm not fucking good enough. You guys, I literally like more. I'm thinking of all like the Coach crossbody bags I have and stuff. I'm a good person. I'm a really good fucking person.
Yeah.
I was thinking today, I need $100,000 and that's it. And I would be set.
Just $100,000.
Yes, because I don't want to ask for too much. But there are a few things I would like to purchase.
Yeah? What are you? Okay. Let's do this.
Okay.
What are you purchasing for $100,000? It's right here in this suitcase for you right now.
I have to answer this one.
Yes.
Well, there was.
I'll answer it too.
I would. Okay. Okay. First thing I would probably do is pay off my car. I drive a Chevy Equinox. I love my car. It's a nice little SUV. It's good. Like, I wouldn't have to go get anything new.
Yeah.
I say that, and then I kind of would want something. Can I have more money?
No. You didn't want to ask for too much. You named the price. It was $100,000.
Okay, well, I was thinking... Okay, without planning a whole lot. If someone handed me $100,000, the first thing I would do is I would go have plastic surgery.
That's the very first thing I would
do. I would get my boobs redone.
Redone.
Redone. I would have them fucking perfected. Yes. I would come out looking like a motherfucking Barbie doll. A curvy Barbie doll, though.
A curvy Barbie doll.
I would have my boobs redone. And I would have a tummy tuck and liposuction. I would consider a Brazilian butt lift.
You're laughing so hard.
But yeah, I wouldn't
do... because we're so vastly
different. I wouldn't do a Brazilian butt lift because they're just not... You can't. You can't. You just know when they're a BBL. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so, wow.
So, boobs... a tummy tuck and like little perfections, you know, modifications here and there. And okay. Then
how much do you have left?
Probably 80,000.
Okay.
And that's, you know, okay. And I would definitely get some extensions.
Hair extensions?
Yes, hair extensions.
You need a suitcase full of $100,000 in order to get hair extensions?
Well, hair extensions are like the kind I want are going to be like $1,200 a pop every time you go. Oh,
God bless America.
And I can't have the kind that like you like clip in or anything because like when you're doing the do and like somebody pulls on your hair, you can't have your hair coming off. Girls,
no, you can't.
If you do that, question. For those of you that have the clip on or the little halo extensions, when you do the do with your hubby or boyfriend, whatever, I'm so tired of being judged on here. When you have sex because you're an adult and the person that you're having sex with pulls your hair.
Yeah.
Do you take your clip-ons out first and like lay them somewhere or shove them down in your purse? Or are they yankable?
Yes,
I'm sure people are being like, what kind of sex are you? Like,
let us know.
I'm curious. What do you do with your fake hair before you do that? Because seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a legit question.
It is.
I would probably like, I would want to probably buy a tiny house and some land. I don't need much.
Yeah.
I say that. Listen to everything I just said. I don't need much. I just want clean and tidy. I want it to smell good and I want it to be homey. I want to feel safe. And I want people to feel welcome and at home when they come in.
Yeah.
And I think that on a little plot of land with a little rock driveway so that my car doesn't get super muddy and grassy, I could work with that. And then a little extra spare change in the bank account for like little gadgets that I want to buy. Like every time a new iPhone comes out.
Yeah.
And then like, that's probably, you know.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
You've probably reached your max.
Yeah.
That's it. You have no money left.
I just need $100,000, like $2,500 in credit card debt that I really need to pay off.
Oh my God.
So.
Okay. I have a good $20,000 in debt.
Okay.
That's where my first $20,000 is going.
That's responsible.
I've got this. I was laughing because we were vastly different. Yeah, my first $20,000 is going towards student loan debt for this degree that I never got. And, find me on Bumble. I should put that, you know, if I ever create something, a dating profile and I come with $20,000 worth of debt, that's important to know. So if you can't handle that, bye.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got debt. And let's see, I'm going to pay off my debt and get that straightened up. I would definitely buy some land. I think that is, very important to me. And I think it's going to be important for in the future. Not just like on a personal level, but land can't be created.
This is true.
So I'm pretty passionate about owning some land.
It's very smart.
I want to do that. I want to put aside at least like 10 to 20 for Frankie, you know, for like college and stuff, emergencies, things like that.
I mean, that's smart.
I'd like to have a minimum of 10 probably aside for her.
Yeah.
So I probably don't have anything left.
You wouldn't buy anything?
Well, paying off my debt is a purchase. That's an investment.
I guess.
And I'm buying land.
That's not.
And ideally, because I too am very passionate about building a tiny house. Mm-hmm. My goal, the rock driveway, that's very logical. And I see the rationale behind it. I want a good outdoor living space. I want to be doing things like this outside. You know,
we're definitely going to need more than $100,000.
Yeah.
That's what I've decided.
Fuck, yeah.
I almost had us a gig last night.
Yeah.
Almost had us a gig.
Yeah. A gig.
And then
huh?
My conscience kicked in.
What?
Listen.
Tell me.
Listen, first of all, if you are friends with someone named Jonathan Byers, Byars, on social media, you should block him.
Oh my.
He added
You've
me.
Outed someone.
Yeah, I did.
What are you?
It was
okay.
Not okay.
Where's this going?
Well, last night he added me on Snapchat, and all I got was I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to like add him back or accept or anything, which I thought was weird. I got the notification that he added me, and then there's a message, like the little blue square.
Yeah,
he sent me a message, and he said, would you be interested? No, he said, do I know you from Tinder? And I wrote back and I was like, no, I've never even fathomed Tinder, so that you got the wrong girl. And he said, oh, so then I can't ask you if you'd be interested in a sugar daddy. And I said, I guess you could still ask the question, but no, that's not like my cup of tea.
Yeah.
And he said, so you wouldn't be interested in receiving a weekly amount or a monthly amount? And I said, no, not particularly. And I said, something about this whole situation seems a bit fishy. And I preach self-worth. to anyone I come in contact with. And I feel like participating in whatever kind of scheme you got going on is only going to take away from that and not add to it. And he wrote back upwards of $2,800 a week. And I said, a week? Like, hold on now. What's the contract look like? And he said,
the terms and conditions.
If you will just, I will put you on a weekly schedule. If you will promise to send me pics, and if you will schedule a weekend out of a month for me for us to get together and have fun or go somewhere or do something. And I was like, you would pay me $2,800 to send you pictures and to schedule a weekend out of a month for you. And he said, yeah. And I said, I don't send nudes. And he said, they never have to be nudes. I just want them sexy, but they don't ever have to be nudes if you're not comfortable with that. And I'm like, this has got to be the weirdest thing. And I said, do you have a rich dad? He wrote back and he said, no, but me and my son have everything we need. And I said, you know that porn is free, right? And he said, yes, I know porn is free. And I said, yeah, I'm still not your girl, but I was definitely interested in, like, in what a girl would have to do. Then he sends me screenshots to show me where he has paid money. He had the girls' names blacked out. I'm assuming it's their names. One was $2,800. And then the other amounts were like $5, $750, $250, $175, like chunks of money. He sent me three different screenshots where he was paying money out. And it was a Venmo, and it was paying money out. Now, I can't say it was to girls, but it was the amounts he was talking about.
Oh, my.
And it was regular. And I said that I appreciated the information, but that I wasn't interested. And then I said, and if you're a sex trafficker and you end up hurting someone, I'd be hard-pressed not to come hunt you down myself. And he said, have a good night. So then I just blocked him on everything. Oh, but my. I couldn't find him using a friend's phone today because I was telling her to look for him and block him.
Yeah.
But last night when I looked him up on Facebook, he looked legit. And he mentioned his son in his Snapchat message. And on his Facebook, his cover photo was him and his son.
Huh.
I'm assuming these are the same people. So, you know.
What
but
the
I almost
hell?
Had us a gig. $2,800. We could have split $2,800 a month, sis.
Yeah.
I thought about sending him a picture of like my big toe.
Yeah.
And been like, what's that worth to you? I could definitely get into that.
Oh my God.
So that's the life. Yeah. That's
where we're at.
Where we're at in regards to finding a 94 a year type marriage.
Yay.
So.
This is probably I think I might have had this feeling before, but I don't remember it. This might have been the first night where I felt like we were in our cubicles at work.
Me too.
Like, this felt very like how we used to.
Yes.
And maybe it's just because I've been missing it quite a bit lately.
Yeah, dude.
But
yeah, I miss you. I miss the podcast.
Yeah, same.
To be transparent, I know this is a long episode, but to be transparent, I mean, we've just, Marky and I have been all over the place. We haven't even seen each other to record since our last episode.
Yeah.
We haven't seen each other. We haven't been together. Mm-hmm. And Marky reached out to me this evening to see if I could record tonight. And I was telling her, like, at work, it was probably around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was using the restroom and I washed my hands and I looked up in the mirror and just like made eye contact with myself. And I thought, oh yeah, going Dutch. Like we need to do that. Or do we? Like, life is so hard.
Yeah.
It's too hard. And I got to thinking about Zach's email and I thought, I don't want, and I'm just going to be transparent, I don't want to be the comedic relief. I don't want to be the person that people go, you're such an inspiration. I got a sweet message from another friend, Zach, where his girlfriend listens to our podcast. Hey, Carly. And he said, you know, she talks about how you inspire her so much. And I love that. And that's what gives me light.
Yeah.
But today, after dealing with some personal things on top of everything else that's happened in the last few months, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, looking at myself in the mirror going, I just want to disappear. I just want to be a regular old Joe again, mm-hmm. where, and this like makes me sound like a brat. Like, it's not like we have to fight people off in the streets, yeah. you know, but because we care, we feel that weight to push people and to say, hey, this is the shit I'm facing, mm-hmm. and I can do it and you can do it and push. And I didn't have that in me today.
Yeah.
I didn't have it in me at all. And I was just thinking, I thought I'll just go back to blogging where I can just like live behind the screen, like be a movie director. You never know. It's a fantastic movie and people enjoy the movie, but nobody gives a fuck who the director is. Mm-hmm. Even though they did a fantastic job, the director's kind of like the phantom, you know, yeah. he works the phantom magic. And then I thought, no. Because we've been given a gift.
Yeah.
We've been given each other. We're each other's gift. And the way that we get through life together and our chemistry is obviously a gift to others.
Yeah.
And that, since facing all the trials that I've faced in the last few years, lifting others up is what keeps me going. That's yeah. my purpose.
You're a peacemaker.
It's my purpose. It's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I have a choice when I face a difficult situation. I mean, I'm human. I'm going to feel it. But I'm all about choose your shoes. What shoes are you going to wear?
Yeah.
What are you going to decide to do in order to move forward? How are you going to handle it? What are you going to learn? And what can you teach others? And then I thought about, I was listening to a podcast last week about resilience. And they were talking about being resilient. You know, it's so easy to tell someone they're resilient when they go through a tough time and then they bounce back. And and it is courageous to go through a tough time and be on the verge of breaking and to get up every day, get out of bed and keep living life. That is courageous and it's good and kudos to you.
Yeah.
Resilience, to be resilient means you go through the shit. You crawl on your knees, you crawl your way up, and all while doing that, and all while the suffering went on, you never lost sight of what was important to you before all the shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
That's resilience.
Yes.
So, to go through everything that we go through, and a lot of people have it worse, but our worlds are our worlds.
Right.
To go through what we go through and to maintain...
The vision.
Throughout the struggle, because it's a struggle.
Yeah.
That's resilience. And that's something that we should all strive for.
I love it.
You can get knocked down and you can get back up, but you can get back up and not care about shit anymore.
That's true.
Don't be that person.
That's true.
You got to keep caring.
And that's not easy either.
No.
It's probably the most difficult thing. Getting back up, that's muscles.
You have to.
Yeah.
You didn't die.
So, if you didn't die, then you got back up.
Cool. You got back up. It didn't kill you.
Who are you?
Yes.
Who are you still?
Yes. To get back up and to go, you know what? That was important to me. It's still important to me. And if it's not right now, I'm going to find the importance in it again.
Yeah.
That's resilience. Remembering who you are. Absolutely.
Well done.
Yeah. So I gave myself a little pep talk.
Yeah.
In the bathroom. And then I walked down the hall and I was like, not to discredit you or Jen, but I am with me all the time. I am my own best fucking friend. Yeah. And I'm a good friend. I used to be a shitty friend to myself.
Yeah.
I used to let myself down all the time. I almost let myself down when I left work. My heart's broken and I am blue. I am as blue as the bluest blue can be. Yeah. And I almost didn't go work out. And I thought, no.
Yeah.
So that you can go home and be sad?
Right.
When you could have done something good for your mental and physical health? Girl, get your ass to the gym. The hell? Who do you think you are? Did you die? No. Cool. So now what are you going to do? You didn't die. So you're just going to be a zombie? No, you're going to go to the gym. You're going to do what's important to you. You're going to record your fucking podcast that you love so much.
Yeah.
Get it together. Damn.
Well done.
Kudos. I'm my best damn friend.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So, be your best friend. Lean on your friends. I know y'all have got some good friends. I mean, you don't have friends as good as mine. I'm just telling you. I've got the best of the best friends. But be your own best friend.
Yeah.
Pick your ass up. Sure. You're the only one that can. I don't have nobody making sure I go to the gym, making sure I get out of bed when I don't feel like it in the mornings. Mm-hmm. Be your best friend. Yeah. Take care of yourself.
And in the interim, you can always sit with us.
And you can always sit with us.
Yeah.
Reach out.
Yeah.
Be like, I promise you there's nothing that you can share with us that will shock us in any way.
That's like, the truth.
This is what I'm going through. Like, you can't tell me anything that's going to surprise me. I can tell you that. Been there and probably done it myself.
That is the truth. And if she hasn't done it, I for sure have.
Yep. So, yep. And it's got me down and it's got me sad. I will give you the pep talk you need. I promise you that.
We do appreciate you guys sitting with us. Thank you for hanging in there. Thank you for the messages. We love hearing from you guys, even if it's just, I miss you, or no podcast, you're not recording, or any of that. That all feels real good.
Oh, it feels great. And we're here, trust me.
Yeah, I'm glad that y'all are sticking around. It does. It makes us happy. And we're happy to be here. We just, you know, we're just also living life. We're also human. So we're doing what we can. We're making it work.
You know, people are dying and shit. It's God,
people quit dying.
Just, God, if people would stop dying.
You know, just like, could you just live? Maybe that'd be cool.
Yeah, dude.
So, you know how to reach us, likely, but in case you don't, we're on social media, at Going Dutch Podcast. That's Instagram and Facebook. Or you can send us an email. We love that you do, and we hope that you will. That's markyandbeck@gmail.com. And, other than that, we still have an active Patreon. So if you're interested in supporting us in a financial kind of way, you can donate any amount of money through Patreon. And that just goes towards helping us like better our equipment, or hopefully actually getting the videos rolling in the future, things like that. But the greatest gift you can give us is just sharing us with your people and supporting us by listening. If you do like what you hear, you can go to iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. That helps out immensely.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, we appreciate 5 stars. And if you have something nice to say, please leave a review. And as per usual, if you don't have anything nice to say, send it in an email and we'll have a conversation with you about that.
Yeah.
Let you know how you're wrong. But again.
Oh, and email us about extensions, please. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
I was for real about that. I'm curious.
But yes, thank you so much for sitting with us. You can always sit with us. We love you guys so much. Peace, love, and cheese, because it ain't easy being cheesy.
Be a good egg.
Bye.
Bye.